Leaders are influencers, and it's nearly impossible to maximize your influence when you're being dragged down and distracted by crippling anxiety, overwhelming stress, and private doubts and fears. We're unlocking the secrets to being fully present, expanding our potential, and growing our wisdom. Welcome to the Calm and Confident Leader Podcast with your host, Jason Stonehouse. Jason is the founder and lead coach at Life in Process. He helps professionals and leaders conquer anxiety and fear so they can maximize their potential. And now, grab something to write with and engage in today's episode.
Did you know that the World Health Organization reported that depression and anxiety has cost $1 trillion a year in lost productivity in the workplace? Well, the good news is that they found that for every $1 spent on treating common mental health concerns, companies saw a $4 return in improved health and productivity, four times the return rate if they spent some time and money on addressing common mental health issues and concerns. Also, I read in another report that over 20% of workers today spend more than 5 hours of office time weekly thinking about stressors and worries in their life. Anxiety is a problem that impacts 40 million Americans every year, but it is a bigger problem for leaders, executives, directors, teachers, parents, professionals, and anyone who has influence in the lives of other people. Hey, so today's topic is leadership anxiety, and it is so much of what our company is built on solving. And so I can't wait to get into today's topic for you. But before we get there, I would love to connect with you at the Calm and Confident Leader over on Facebook. We actually have a Facebook page that you could like and see some things there. But most importantly, I would love to have you join our group on Facebook called the Calm and Confident Leader. And on that group, I share videos, I share tips, other content, as well as the group's got a whole slew of leaders who interact on various topics. And so I think you'll find it very enriching and helpful for you. I also have a premier coaching program that gets leaders and professionals free from anxiety and stress and the inner challenges that derail and distract us, and it does it in 90 days or less without you having to lay on a psychologist's couch for years of your life or taking all kinds of meds or gazing at your navel. This is a program that is built for leaders by a strategic therapeutic leader. That's me. and it works. I'm telling you, I have clients that I've seen have results in just 2 weeks of being a part of our program. And so I would love the opportunity to talk with you more if this is an interest to you, of really being able to get into a program that's specifically addressed for you. It's specifically addressed for the kinds of things that you're going to encounter and the things that you are encountering, and really will work with you to very quickly get you free and where you are able to be maximizing your potential for the future. So let me know if you'd like to know more about that, and we can jump on a call and we can talk through it. Okay, so let's get into today's topic, and that is leadership anxiety. Leadership anxiety. And as I said to you before, there is some very important reasons why, even though it affects 40 million Americans, I'm saying it's a much bigger issue for leaders and executives and influencers of all types, because of a number of different factors. Number one, when you have anxiety as a leader, when I have anxiety as a leader, it doesn't only impact us, it impacts all the people we influence. So if you're the manager of a team of 30 people, your anxiety and how you deal with your anxiety or stress is actually going to have an impact on those 30 people. If you're a mom or a dad, it affects your whole family, and even your extended family in some parts. If you are leading a church of 1,000 people, your anxiety and stress is going to impact 1,000 people, plus your staff team and all of that. And so it is a huge issue that if you don't deal with it, is going to have a ripple effect to all the people that you influence. So for the average everyday person who is dealing with anxiety, those 40 million people in America, that anxiety, for the most part, is affecting them primarily. Whereas a leader and someone who has influence in the lives of others, our anxiety is affecting much more than just us. And that's why I am devoting so much of my life to helping leaders get free from this, because it has impact that's very far reaching. The second reason I think it impacts leaders even more is leaders are, I don't know how to say this, embarrassed. I don't even know if it's embarrassment. I don't even know if it's ashamed of dealing with it. I think for most leaders, like at least I know for me, I didn't know what it was. Like I spent a good number of years trying to figure out what is going on with me. I didn't have words like anxiety. I knew stress. Everybody knows stress, but I'm like, oh, that's just part of life. You just got to deal with stress. So I never thought stress was that big of a deal. But I was starting to realize that it was affecting me to a much deeper level and was affecting my performance way beyond just, you know, an internal issue that I was wrestling with. But I didn't have words for it. And so it's not like I was embarrassed. It's not like I was even ashamed of it. I just didn't even know what it was. And then when I began to explain the symptoms to some people around me, they said, "You've got anxiety. That's anxiety you're dealing with." I'm like, "No, I'm a leader, you know, of a large multi-million dollar organization. I am leading people. I am infecting their lives. Like, I can't be dealing with anxiety. That's not something people like me deal with." And so here you have the second reason why I think anxiety is a bigger issue for leaders and influencers is we often, either because we're too proud, we don't want to admit that something's off, or we can't even identify it. We don't even know what it is. And so we don't even have words or names for it. Whatever the reason, what happens for leaders and influencers and professionals is we tend to sit on it longer than we should. Because as long as we can somehow figure out a way to keep performing at a high level, we just kind of ignore a lot of the inner life. And when we see it's there, we're like, yeah, I know it's there. And we just try to find ways to manage it. And like for me, like I was taking so many Tums and I was getting all kinds of things for my stomach because I thought it was a stomach issue. I didn't think it was a brain issue. I didn't think it was a mental health issue. I thought it was something that I was dealing with like in my stomach and in my digestion. And maybe I'm allergic to something. I mean, I had so many different rationalizations and explanations for what I was dealing with that by the time I got to the point of saying, you know what, I'm dealing with anxiety and panic attacks, by that point, anxiety had set up shop in my life and was wreaking all kinds of havoc in my life. And so that's really the second issue why I say that not only is it, it doesn't go diagnosed or it doesn't go even identified by us as leaders and professionals, but the longer that we live with it without it being identified, it begins to become, we begin to build habits around it. We begin to manage around it. We begin to try to find things to take the edge off. We begin to, it begins to come out sideways in our personal relationships at home, as well as our relationships with our coworkers and our friends. It starts to show up all over the place. And had we noticed it earlier, identified it earlier, been humble enough to admit it earlier, we may have been able to really stem its impact, but we can't do that now because it is shouting at us. And so that's why I think it becomes an even bigger issue, because now it's even more difficult to deal with and rid out of our lives and break free from. And so, you know, even for me to claim, and I can claim with backing that we can do this in 90 days, I'm telling you, it's 90 days of some serious work, because oftentimes by the time a leader comes to us, it has already begun to wreak some major havoc in their life and probably at this point in their professional life, which is where people start to notice it. Like, as long as, oh, it's only affecting my marriage, it's only affecting my family, I just got to suck it up and go through. But when it starts showing up in the way we make a living, it becomes very, very dangerous and something that we've got to deal with. So those are really the big reasons why I think anxiety is an even bigger issue for leaders than it is for the average American who's struggling with it. But now let's turn the corner here a little bit and let's start talking about, where does this thing called anxiety come from? What is anxiety all about? What's the source of anxiety? Well, there's a lot of different sources, but I'm going to talk about one of the most common sources of anxiety. And anxiety, just as a point of definition, is anxiety is a form of fear. And fear is a good thing. So that's the first thing I want you to hear here, is that fear is a good thing. Fear was something that was designed into us from the beginning. Fear is helpful. When you're walking too close to the edge of a cliff, fear says, hey, back up, idiot, right? You don't get too close to that, because if you do, you could slip and you could fall and die. And so fear has very much a protective function in our lives and can be really, really helpful. The problem is, or when anxiety comes in, it's really fear dysfunctioning. So fear is a good thing. Anxiety is fear dysfunctioning, because what anxiety is doing is it's activating the fear aspects of us where there's things that really we don't need to be afraid of. It's creating fear, it's creating panic, it's creating urgency and emergency to something that really doesn't require that level of addressing. And so that becomes a really big problem. One of the ways, so the Association of Depression and Anxiety would describe it this way. They say that stress is a response to the threats in our world. And so whether it be our world or our workplace, stress is our response to those things. And they would say anxiety then is a reaction to our stress. That may or may not be helpful for you. I've just found in my everyday life and really in my own journey with anxiety that there are a few what I would call primary sources of anxiety, as I've seen in my own life, as well as other leaders and influencers that I've had opportunity to work with. And the first one is this. So, primary sources. We're talking about sources now. Number one is pressure to do or be something that you're not or is not possible. So the first source of anxiety is when we face pressures to do or to be something that you're not or is not possible. Sometimes the organization that we are working for, or the boss that we have, or whatever, somebody's asking us to saying, hey, the company needs you to do this, or the organization really needs someone who can do this. We don't really have somebody on staff. So, you know, you're the leader, you're the director, you're the CEO. You need to step into that role. And sometimes what happens is we're in a role that is not our sweet spot. And it's not who we are. It's not, you know, what makes us come alive. And so when you are operating too long in a place that is not your sweet spot, it puts an incredible amount of pressure on you because you're trying to be somebody that you're not. And so the way I like to often think about anxiety is, think about wherever you are, like, what's your sweet spot? How are you wired? What do you do well? And then what you're being asked to do, to be, which is over here. And between who you are and who that you're being asked, or your company or your organization is calling for you to be, is further away, that produces a gap between where you are and where that is. And that gap often gets filled with anxiety, because you can't shrink that gap. You can't become somebody different. You can't become something that you're not. And you could maybe do for a season. You could act like that person. You could step into that role. You could maybe do some things to fix it. But the reality is, if you don't get out of there quickly and into where you're wired up to be, that gap is going to only build more and more. You're going to be asked to do more and more things that are not who you are. And that gap is often filled with anxiety. Sometimes it's pressures to do something that's not possible. Sometimes you're looking at a bottom line and you're saying, I need to control this bottom line. I need to make this bottom line larger. And it's outside of your control. You know, maybe your company's in the middle of a recession, or maybe there's just been some choices where there's some fallout and you can't recover quickly enough on your own, and it's outside of your control. It's just impossible to do that. Or sometimes the workload that you have or the things that are being expected of you would require 80 hours or 100 hours a week to be able to pull off. Well, you might be able to pull a week off at 80 hours or 100 hours, or maybe even 2 weeks. So some of us maybe 3 weeks. But that's going to soon catch up to you, because it's not possible. It's not sustainable to operate at that level for a long period of time. And so the pressures, so they may be things that you do well, they may be things in your sweet spot, but what's being expected of you, or what you're expecting of yourself, is more often the case for leaders, is way beyond what can be expected. It's not realistic. And so again, there's a gap between what you think you should do or you think you could do and what you actually can do, what's actually realistic. And that gap then is filled with anxiety. And with anxiety comes all the physical symptoms, as well as the emotional symptoms, as well as the relational fallouts, as well as the obsessing in your mind and the overwhelming feeling that comes along with it. All of that comes with anxiety. And anxiety is showing up because you are pressuring yourself, or you're being asked to do or be something that is not possible. It's not realistic. It's not accurate. And you're going to pay for it. That's one of the primary sources I see among leaders when it comes to anxiety. Secondly, is interpersonal relationships that you've not been trained to handle. Interpersonal relationships that you've not been trained to handle. So one of the things that happens is we get somebody who's a great worker and we promote them. So now this great worker is now being asked to be a great manager. They're being asked to oversee different people, help their performance, all of those kinds of things. Well, now you're taking somebody who maybe has spent most of their career in more the worker mode, and now you're asking them to be in the leader or the manager mode. And some of them, you know, a lot of us, you know, have the capacity to grow to that point. But the problem is that we're often trained what to do, but we're not trained how to relate. We're not trained how to deal with the new relational complexities that are going to come with managing a team. And so a lot of times, maybe even in a marriage, let's just take that for example, a husband and wife, you know, you're not trained, unless you go through some kind of premarital counseling, you're not trained how to be a husband. You're not trained how to be a wife. And no one really teaches you some of those basic things that you need to know to be a husband or a wife. Well, then you add kids into the picture, whether it's a year, 2 years after the marriage starts, you're just starting to figure out some of the relational dynamics between the husband and the wife, and now you've got kids in the picture. Now you're being asked to be a parent, and now you're being asked to be a co-parent with this husband or wife who you're with. And so now you're managing the dynamics of, how does my parenting impact my ability to be a husband or a wife? And usually one of those two things is suffering. Either I'm not going to be a great parent because I'm going to emphasize and prioritize the marriage, or I'm going to prioritize my parenting and my marriage is going to suffer. And I'm trying to find this constant balance in these two areas. Not to mention the fact that we've got to live, we got to put food on the table. So I got to have a job. And probably at this point in my job, I'm being asked to lead. I'm being asked to manage. I'm being asked to take care of other people. And so now I've got these relational conflicts and issues, and this person's sensitive about this, and this person's got this trauma from their past, and that makes them really concerned about this thing or that thing, and this person has different opinions than I do, and they're my equal or they're my boss, and now I've got to figure out how do I navigate through that. Well, there's all of these interpersonal dynamics and relationships that unfortunately, most companies are not doing a lot to train you on. If anything, you're getting tolerance training, or you're getting training on avoiding some of the innuendos and comments, and you're learning some of those kinds of things. But most of the rest of the stuff, you're being asked to manage on the job. You're being asked to learn on the job. And if you're parents or and married couple, you're being asked to do that on the job in real time. And that's why, the work that we do in our organization is expanding out to saying we need to just teach people some basic relational skills. And basic doesn't mean simple. It means just stuff that you're encountering now at the level that you're on that no one's ever prepared you for. And you need to get trained in those areas. Well, when you're operating, again, outside of what you're trained to do, outside of what you're good at, well, that's going to produce a gap. And what fills the gap? Anxiety. So some of us have unresolved tensions and anxiety because of the relational dynamics by which we're dealing with, or with which we're dealing with. Here's a third source of anxiety, and that is past wounds or past trauma that you've not healed from. So maybe there's been something, whether it be something in your career, whether it be something in your childhood, whether it be something in a relationship, there's been some sort of wound that has happened to most of us, or there's been some sort of trauma that we've been in. But what a lot of us, particularly us high-driving leaders who are always looking for the next hill, and entrepreneurs who are looking to build the next thing, oftentimes we say to ourselves, I don't have time. I don't have time to deal with those wounds. I don't have time to deal with that trauma. And so it just gets stuffed. It just gets pushed underneath the surface, and we don't deal with it. And now we are in a role where our leadership needs to really rise up and deal with a lot of complexities that we didn't have to deal with before, and we've never dealt with our past traumas and our past wounds. And because we've not dealt with them, now it's causing anxiety in our lives because we've not dealt with something that needs to be dealt with. And our brain knows it. This is what I often see with anxiety, is our brain is ruminating. Our brain is constantly spinning, trying to solve the challenges that we have. Well, sometimes those challenges are years old, and the brain is still trying to work on, why can't we resolve this? Why can't we fix this? And so it's spinning on that, and now you're adding more input into your brain and saying, hey, brain, I need you to figure this out, and I need you to solve this complexity and this issue. And it's like, I still haven't solved this thing from age 8, remember? Remember what happened at age 8? You're like, what? I don't remember that, right? But your brain does, and your brain is still working on it as if it is a recent thing because it's never really dealt with it. And so it's continuing to do that. It's continuing to focus on those things that are unresolved. And that unresolved tension from our past is just continuing to wreak havoc. Now, those are just three of the primary sources, but here's where they lead to, which is kind of the number one thing. All of those things lead to us trying to control something that you can't control. So hear me here. Why anxiety tends to take us down, derail us, diminish us as leaders, is because we are trying to control something that we can't control. And our brain keeps telling us that we have to control that thing. We have to get that under control. Or it's telling us you should be able to get that thing under control. And so the brain is working overtime saying, you've got to, you've got to, you've got to, or you should be able to, you should be able to. Come on, you're a good person. You're a good leader. You're a hard worker. You've been able to figure out all this other crazy stuff. Why can't you figure this out? And so again, we're trying to control something that we can't control. And that produces anxiety. And I will tell you this, once anxiety has set up shop, once it becomes the go-to thing in your world, then whenever there's a gap through time, it begins appearing in those small gaps that aren't as evident. So let me put it this way. At the beginning, when anxiety first starts to, you begin to first notice anxiety, it tends to be in things where there's a very large gap, meaning it's a really big pressure-filled situation. You've got a huge job interview, and if you get this job, you're going to double your income. Or, you're in this really intense conflict, and if you don't resolve this conflict, you could lose your job. Right, it's at these huge, big issues, big events that anxiety begins to show up, and whether it's butterflies in your stomach or something much worse than that, anxiety begins to show itself in those big events. Well, what happens is the longer that you then go not addressing this anxiety that is very present in your life. What happens is the anxiety starts to show up when there's a small gap, when it's just little things, when there's little issues. You never used to be anxious about this thing. All of a sudden now, anxiety is starting to show up in these little things, in these little conflicts, these little issues. And you're like, why am I anxious right now? This is not that big of a deal. But the problem is that your brain has found anxiety to be its go-to emotion, its go-to activity when there's any kind of gap. And the longer you let it go, the longer you don't address it, even in the smaller and smaller gapped issues, anxiety will start to show up in there. And it's just crazy how it's there. And that's where I was, where I was experiencing anxiety every day, and there was no longer events or issues. At least any that I could identify. It was just waking up with this sense of dread. It was just waking up in the morning with this sense of something's off, something's not right. And it was every day that I was dealing with it. And then, so there was always this low-level soundtrack of anxiety playing in the back of my brain. And then on the big things, the big events, that anxiety would be off the charts. I'm talking the volume cranked way past 10. And it's like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with this. I don't know how to deal with this. Because at that point, it had been so many years where I kept pushing anxiety away, not dealing with it. And now it started showing up all the time. So I hope what you're hearing in this whole podcast, and I know it's a kind of depressing podcast, but what I hope you're hearing is how critical this issue is to address as leaders. And we don't have time to be proud, too proud to get help. We don't have time to kind of explain it away or rationalize it or manage it or try to control it on our own. We need to get some help on it, because what happens is anxiety puts you on a treadmill to try to resolve the unresolvable, and it's going to keep ruling your life until a significant shift is made. Let me say that again. Anxiety puts you on a treadmill to resolve the unresolvable, and it will keep ruling your life until a significant shift is made. And I'll be honest with you, I have not met anyone yet who was able to make the needed shift without a skilled coach or counselor. I just haven't found anybody. I know I wouldn't have been able to without those years of therapy. I wouldn't have been able to get on the other side of this thing. And I'm still in the process of getting on the other side of it. And thankfully, it's no longer affecting me every day, because I was able to get on the other side of it. But there are some times where there's a big event or a big issue that it starts to creep back in. And now I have some tools to be able to deal with it. So we're able to process forward. But I'm just telling you, this is not something you want to mess around with. And I'm not saying this so that you, you know, talk with me and say, oh, I need to join this program. I need to get a part of that. I'm happy to help you. But if you're not comfortable with like a leadership coach and you want to go more to the therapeutic route and go to a psychiatrist or a counselor or a therapist, I think that's awesome. I'd say go for it, particularly if you feel like there may be more in play than just some of the issues that I talked about on this episode. I definitely would encourage you to maybe pursue a therapeutic or psychiatrist, those kind of routes. But I will say, if any of the things that I've said today really resonate with you, particularly those things that say, yeah, that makes sense of why I'm struggling with it, if that's the cause of your anxiety, our program will do wonders for you. And I really would encourage you to check it out. And again, let's jump on a call. Let's talk about it. So I always like to leave you with a leadership nugget, a tip to kind of take some of what you've learned. And it's actually very similar to our last episode. I want you, here's your leadership nugget. I want you to get curious about your anxiety. Get curious about your anxiety. And what I mean by get curious is I don't want you to fear your anxiety. I don't want you to try to escape your anxiety. I don't even want you to try to manage your anxiety. I just want you to get curious about your anxiety. When does it show up? Wonder why it shows up then. I wonder what it's saying about me. I wonder what I'm telling myself. What's going through my mind when anxiety starts to show up? What am I expecting of myself? What are those expectations that are unrealistic? What pressures are starting to come into my life that, or what pressures have been ongoing in my life that I haven't been dealing with? That's what I mean by get curious. Ask yourself a bunch of questions about it so that you can begin to become an expert on how anxiety shows up for you. Because if and when you go and choose to get some help, you're going to need the answers to a lot of these questions so that that person or that coach or that therapist is going to be able to come alongside you and really be helpful because you're able to identify and put some words to it. All right. Hopefully today's episode has been helpful for you. And as always, I really could use your help in just spreading the word and letting other people know about our podcast so that we can continue to be helpful for leaders. It also is a huge help that wherever you listen to this podcast, if you would go on to that page and leave a review or comment about our podcast, that definitely allows us to get more noticed in all of the algorithms that allow you to get noticed. So can't wait to our next episode where we'll continue to go deeper on some of these issues that I know will be helpful for you. And as always, remember, life is a process. Don't do it alone. Talk to you on our next episode.